Well, we welcome you back tonight. Trust you had a good afternoon, a kind of a lazy Lord's Day with the rain and all of that. I'm sure some of you enjoyed a refreshing nap as well as the rain refreshing the earth. But regardless of what your day has looked like, we're so glad you've come back for this evening for our worship together. And this is worship. It's so important to remember that everything that we do when we gather corporately that's been prescribed by God is in fact worship. And part of that has to do with the ordinances. This morning, the Lord's table. Tonight, baptism. This is prescribed by God as an act of worship. And not only those who are giving their testimonies, but we who hear them and respond and rejoice in God's work in their lives and remind ourselves of God's work in our own. So I hope that will be your spirit and attitude tonight. Let me just remind you of what this symbolizes. I don't want to take that for granted. Perhaps we have some guests tonight, or maybe this is your first time at a baptism service at Countryside. It's so important to remember what this is and isn't. Baptism is a visible sign of a spiritual reality that has already occurred. Nothing happens in this water. Nothing miraculous. No changes happen to the person's soul. This is instead a reminder and a picture of what God has already done. Everyone who comes here to be baptized tonight has already come to an understanding of their sinfulness before God, an understanding of what that sin deserves before God. And God has brought them to see their only hope is in Jesus Christ, in His death on their behalf, in His resurrection. And they have confessed Him as Lord and Savior before tonight. But tonight is the public demonstration of that. They profess Christ to be their Lord before all of you. They acknowledge that that is a reality. And they also live out a wonderful picture. Because as they go down into the water, they picture the reality that the old person they used to be before Christ has died. And as they come up out of the water, it's a reminder of the fact that they have been raised by the power of Christ to a new life, a spiritual life in which they can know God, have a relationship with God, and live in a way that pleases Him. So it is a wonderful, wonderful ordinance that our Lord has given us. By the way, it is timeless and eternal. The Lord said to His disciples, I want you to do this in all the nations, and I want you to do this to the end of the age. And so we do it tonight in obedience to our Lord. I hope you will pray for those who come to share their testimonies. Pray for them both tonight as they share, as well as in the days to come. I hope you'll pick one or two that you can specifically remember that God would continue His work in their lives. I trust you will also remember the work of God in your own life as you hear their story. You pray for them as they come.
Hi, I'm Whitney Stonecipher, and this is my testimony. Before salvation, I was a slave to my sin. I had no desire whatsoever to go to church, read my Bible, pray, or have a relationship with God. My parents are strong believers and led me to do things such as these, but I continued to rebel and reject Christ. When I was about 5 years old, our family had moved churches to come to Countryside. It was at that point in my life that I started to actually comprehend what the gospel was and what repentance needed to be made in my heart to go to heaven. I began to come to the reality that my ways accomplished nothing. As it says in Psalm 94:11, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. I also realized that my selfish, foolish ways would only bring me death through God's righteous wrath. As it says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God had opened my eyes so I could clearly see that I desperately needed Jesus in my life. Because of the beautiful work done in my soul by Christ, I was saved. I came to an understanding that only by Christ I was saved. Romans 2:8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved, and that it is not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, so that no one may boast. Since my life with Christ has begun, I have developed a hunger and thirst for righteousness. I pray that through His grace alone, God will advance my relationship with Him even further. With His strength, I try to be a salt and light in this dark world. I'm no longer ashamed of sharing the gospel with schoolmates, friends, or people in public, because it says in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. I have become a slave of Christ so that he can do his good work through me. I am extremely blessed and thankful for the amazing teaching I have in the youth group from Pastor Pennington and having access to a Bible in my own home that I can use anytime I need it. Because of these resources offered, God can clearly communicate to me personally and shape me to become more like his son every day. And I pray that he will continue to do this work in me until I am called home by him. So I'm here tonight to fulfill the commandment that God has given every believer to be baptized."
Whitney, thank you for your testimony. Thank you for so clearly articulating the gospel, for the reminder that really to be a follower of Jesus Christ is to renounce your own autonomy and to become his slave. He becomes your Lord. And that's really what came through clearly in your testimony tonight. Because you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, it is my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Karen Williams. Before Christ, I was self-focused, occupied with my wants and my own interests. I was swayed by the popular belief that since no one is perfect, then my sins couldn't be that important, since I wasn't what society would consider a bad person. I have come to know how false that belief was. My conversion began with a miscarriage, which led me to an understanding that I couldn't rely on myself, only on God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. I understood that my salvation could only come through Jesus Christ. Through regular attendance here at Countryside and Bible study groups, I began to understand that acknowledging our Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior is the beginning, but that we must also have true repentance of our sins, as well as obedience to his word, the Bible. Ultimately, I understand that I was chosen, not because of anything that I am or have done or will ever do, but because of God's mercy and grace. Since coming to know Jesus Christ, I have become a regular attendee both on Sunday mornings and ladies' Bible study classes. My desire to learn God's word has increased dramatically, as well as my desire for obedience to that word. I have come to know that everything we have and are comes from God. My life is vastly different today than it was all those years ago before Christ, and I am eternally grateful that I was chosen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, John 3:16. And that is how I am here to be baptized today.
Well, Karen, thank you for your testimony. Thank you for reminding us of the fact that God takes the initiative in our salvation, that he's the one who rescues us. Because you've come to understand that, but because you've also responded in the faith that he's given you to the gospel, and you've put your faith in his Son, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Todd Coffey. Before salvation, I considered myself a good person. I felt that I was just as good as most other people, but I never considered God in anything ever. My father brought the gospel to me when I was 19 years old, and I mentally assented to the truth of what I had heard, but I did not repent. Knowledge alone is not enough. I had not yet trusted in Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I became, over the years, very, very lonely and very unhappy. Even though I was surrounded by friends and family, I hated what I'd become and the life I was leading. I hated the sin in me. In the complete desperation of my life, I remembered the gospel. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." and I called out to him. Psalms 145:18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth." And I did. Today I seek God in everything I do. I read his word daily, and I pray often for wisdom to do the right thing and for the strength and the faith to do it. I'm committed to walking in obedience to Christ. He ordained me to profess my love for his son through baptism, and that is why I am here today.
Todd, thank you. Thank you for telling us the story of how the Lord brought you to himself, for how he humbled you, as he does to all of us, helps us to see our need of him. Because you saw that need, because you understood the gospel, and you accepted the gospel in our Lord Jesus Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Kathy Coffey. My life prior to salvation consisted of me having an understanding of God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit shared with me by my parents. I prayed often for help, forgiveness, and direction when I was young. However, I did not know the gospel, and I did not have a true relationship with God. As a young adult, I thought I could power through life on my own terms. I felt like I was a pretty good person overall, and that would be good enough. However, there were several points in my life when I began to realize that nothing I could do on my own was ever enough. No matter how hard I tried, I continued to fall. I frequently felt anxious and began to recognize that I really had no control over my life. As I began turning more and more to God, looking in the Bible for guidance and wisdom, I felt as though I was being drawn closer to him. Seemingly out of nowhere, I began to come into contact with more and more friends who were strong believers. They each shared their own love of Christ and how their lives were being shaped differently upon understanding they were nothing without him. They helped me understand that only by trusting and submitting completely to God could I have a life. That meant that I had to fully recognize that absolutely nothing I could ever do would be good enough without God's grace. Christ's death ensured my salvation. Finally, I understood Jesus Christ became man, lived a perfect sinless life, experienced God's full wrath, and died for all sinners. We are all sinners. Jesus rose from the dead so that nothing could separate believers from God, the Creator. God is perfect. I am not. That is why I must repent and ask for forgiveness and direction. In Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." And in Romans 5, verses 1 through 5, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into his grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God." Once I understood this, I was able to pray for God's will and not seek my own. I was able to see that God has the master plan, not me. He knows my beginning and my end. He is the creator of everything. How could I ever possibly know enough to question my creator? Since my salvation, I have come to recognize that without God's everlasting kindness and grace, I am doomed. I recognize that he sustains my very breath, and without his protective hand over me, I have nothing. I must pray for his direction and guidance in everything that I do, and I now have an urgent need to know him more deeply, to walk with him more closely, and to rely upon him in my every action. That is why I'm here today to get baptized.
Kathy, thank you for your clear testimony, for the fact that you became aware of your sinfulness, that you confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, that you understand you are saved from God's wrath solely by the work of Christ on the cross, by his resurrection. Because you've confessed him as Lord, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Connie Kendall. I grew up in a Methodist church where the Bible was not taught. A couple in the church started taking me to a Bible study when I was around 13. This is where I learned about Jesus Christ. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior during this time. I was deep in sin and without hope. It was during this time that I got down on my hands and knees and confessed to God that I was a sinner and asked for forgiveness for my sins and asked Christ into my life. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I know that I did not choose God, but that he chose me. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning through sanctification by the Spirit and fruit in truth. Since my salvation, I have tried to live my life for Christ. I know I've sinned, but through the blood of Jesus Christ, I am forgiven. I used to worry about what others thought when I spoke the name of Jesus Christ. Now I tell everyone what Christ has done for them and me. Christ, Son of God, born into this sinful world, lived a life without sin, was crucified, buried, and rose on the third day, just as the Word of God said he would. When I'm not in the Word of God in prayer, I miss the fellowship I have with God. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So I'm here tonight to be baptized as commanded by the Scriptures.
Connie, thank you for sharing with us tonight. Thank you for making clear the fact that God has saved you from your sin through the work of Jesus Christ. You understand that you have no hope apart from him. And because you put your hope and your confidence in Christ and in Christ alone, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Janice Nall, and my husband David and I have been living in Justin, and we'll have been married 45 years this July. We have 5 children, 2 in-laws, daughter-in-law and son-in-law, and 8 grandchildren so far. We've been attending Countryside for over 4 years now. My parents were loving parents, but they weren't believers, so church was not a part of my life when I was growing up. I had no desire for a relationship with God. I did not know God. I did not understand or grasp who he was. For clearly, as Ephesians 2:1 says, I was dead in my trespasses and sins. However, when I was 15, I was invited to a revival at a Southern Baptist church. I heard the evangelist. I walked the aisle, prayed the prayer, and was baptized the following Sunday. I truly thought I was saved, but what I really had was a knowledge of God, not a saving relationship. I started going to church, but after about a month, I didn't attend anymore, and nothing changed on the inside of me or outside of me. And I didn't go back to church for a long, long time. Now let's fast forward 16 years. David and I are married. We have 2 young children. We're business owners. So we started attending a Southern Baptist church, but it was not a desire to worship God and learn more about him. It was for social and business reasons. And that's gross. It's sad. I met some ladies who invited me to a home Bible study. The Bible study was something new to me, and I enjoyed the study and learning about God. But at that time, I still thought I'd been saved at 15. I had a crisis in my life and desperately needed peace and hope. I called one of the friends from my Bible study very late one night and asked if I could drive out to her house in the country and talk to her. She prayed with me, took me to God's Word, showed me verses about his love, his forgiveness, his peace. And I left her house about 1 o'clock that morning, and I was driving back into town. But I had to pull over on the side of the road because I was crying so hard. God was drawing me to himself in a saving knowledge of who he was that night. I prayed and asked him to change my heart and my life, to forgive me of all my sins, and to never let me go back to my old ways. Ephesians 2:4-5 says, But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. My eyes and my heart were opened truly to his forgiveness through his shed blood of Christ, his grace, his mercy, his overwhelming love for me. My whole life changed that night. I had a hunger for God. I pursued God. I started reading the Bible. I was getting discipled and grounded, faithfully attending church because I wanted to worship God, and I never looked back. The one thing that I stumbled on and wrestled with for so long was still thinking that I was saved when I was 15. But I remembered things I did, things I said, things I thought. And I finally came to realize that a holy, righteous God could not have been living in me those years from the time I was 15 to 31. And that baptism I had at 15 was not a believer's baptism. So having finally realized that I truly came to saving faith in Christ when I was 31 years old, and out of obedience to my Lord and Savior, I need and want to be baptized. It's a privilege and it's an honor to be publicly identified with Christ through a true believer's baptism.
Well, Janice, thank you so much. Thank you for your courage to do what is right before the Lord. And thank you for your testimony. You know, it's such a powerful reminder, isn't it, that churches in North Texas, in the South, and frankly the world, are filled with people who make some profession of faith young in life, but who really don't commit themselves to follow Christ. And my prayer is that if that's true of you tonight, even through Janice's testimony, you'll come to understand that. And before this night is done, you'll find yourself where she found herself that night on that road, crying out to God for his forgiveness and for him to make her new. So Janice, thank you for the gospel that you've shared. Thank you for sharing the work of Christ because you confess Jesus Christ as Lord. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Katie Leonard. Before salvation, a rebellious heart, pride, selfishness, and a resistance to fully embrace the gospel by surrendering my life to Christ characterized me. Even though I was raised in a Christian home where I was taught the gospel, I felt that I was a good enough person to make it to heaven just by the way I lived my life. To everyone around me, I seemed to be doing all the right things. I went to church, participated in many church activities, and kept far away from many worldly ways. What people could not see what was in my heart. I was living for myself and was not right with God. I was not relying on Him alone to meet my need for salvation. Through the many lessons I heard in church growing up, I was taught about God and His creation, the fall of man, and the sacrifice and resurrection of Christ. Isaiah 53:5 states that He was pierced for our transgressions, He was crushed for our iniquities, the punishment that brought us peace was on Him, and by His wounds we are healed. As my knowledge of sin and salvation increased, a fear of death and hell consumed my life, as I realized I was not a Christian. This fear was what initially drove my desire to be saved. This led to many professions of faith, but still no change in my life occurred. Over the years, I was in a battle between my knowledge of Christ and the Scriptures and the temptations of the flesh. It eventually became quite apparent that I had a false hope and faith in Christ. At some point during high school, by His grace, God softened my heart. A pattern of repentance, reliance on God, and a deep desire to keep His commandments filled my life. My outlook towards the world and my behavior towards others changed to one that was striving to live after Christ's example of holiness. These changes in my life did not help me achieve my salvation, but rather came about as a result of my salvation. He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Titus 3:5. Since I have come to Christ, I strive to glorify Him in everything that I do and rely on His grace and sovereign plan for my life. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. My sins and struggles still exist, but they have become something that pains me, and I am quick to ask for forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 states, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive." My selfish heart has been softened and is now more geared towards serving others as well. Each day, I try to spend time in prayer and in the Scriptures and work towards the holiness of God in my everyday life. I also try to spend time in worship and praise, as well as fellowship with other believers, serving them and spending time discussing and encouraging each other in biblical matters and living. Due to God's grace and mercy and the saving blood of Jesus Christ, I stand here today to be baptized in obedience to His word and to glorify His saving work in my life.
Katie, thank you for your testimony. A very clear understanding of the gospel. Thank you for, again, reminding us. If you know Katie, you know that she's had to take some stands because of her faith, even in a local college, where you confess Jesus and His truth. And because of your clear profession of faith in Christ, both here tonight and throughout your life, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, I hope you have been greatly encouraged by what you've heard, and greatly encouraged not only by their testimonies, but as we always are, reminded of God's amazing grace in every life represented here tonight, those who are in Christ. So I hope you will pick a couple of these to pray for. I hope you did that as they shared their testimonies, and let them know you'll be doing that. Let's pray for them as we finish our time of baptism before Seth comes to lead us in a closing song. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for Your amazing grace. We never get tired of hearing how You work that grace out in individual lives. Lord, in so many ways, our stories are unique. Different backgrounds, Christian homes, unbelieving homes, saved young, saved old. But Father, in another way, our stories are all the same because they're all a story of Your amazing grace, reaching down into a sinful life, drawing a sinner by Your grace to Yourself. Father, thank You that You are by nature a rescuer and that You accomplished our rescue through the perfect life, the sacrificial death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You that because of what He accomplished, we have hope and forgiveness and a relationship with You and an expectation of being with You forever as Your children. Father, thank You. We praise You, and we pray for these tonight who have shared their testimonies. Lord, may they know Your strength. May You continue to take them from wherever they are in their own Christian lives, some who've walked with Christ many years and others who are very young in their faith. I pray that You would continue the work You have begun, even as You promised, bringing them faithfully until the day of Jesus Christ, when You will present them without fault and with great joy in Your presence. Father, we thank You for Your grace and mercy, and we celebrate that mercy tonight, even here in baptism. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.